Hey there, Wedding Pro. Are you using AI to its fullest potential in your business yet? Or have you been experimenting with ChatGPT with mixed results? I get it, and I figured out the hacks to get AI to help wedding pros elevate your brand, streamline your content creation, and more. And we're sharing it in our AI-powered Brand Voice Mastery for Wedding Pros guide, located in the Planner's Vault shop. This guide is filled with prompts, insights, and expert guidance on how to use AI quickly, powerfully, and accurately for your business needs. Whether you want to inject more personality into your copy or create more engaging social media content or communicate your unique value proposition more effectively, this guide is your key to unlocking the full potential of AI in your business journey. Grab your copy now at theplannersvault.com/shop. Or click the link in the show notes. Okay, friends, let's start the show. Hey, friends, thanks for listening to episode 191 of the Weddings for Real podcast. I want to thank you for helping us reach a milestone in podcasting, which is 250,000 downloads. So whether you're tuning in today for your very first episode or you've been with us since the very beginning, you are why we reached that milestone, and I owe you a big thank you. Now let's take it back about 12 years to back when I started my wedding planning career. My first full service client was for $2,000. Yes, $2,000 for over 12 months of work. If I estimate I put in about 150 hours for that wedding, I made about $13.33 per hour. Yikes, not exactly the rate a professional expert should be making. It took me a long time to raise my prices and get to the level where I truly valued my time and knowledge in this space, and my pricing reflected it. And part of the reason I started the Planner's Vault, my education site for wedding planners, is so other wedding pros can learn from my mistakes. But as we raise our rates, we start to get into what most of us would call the luxury market. It's something many strive for because it means we've made it. We've beat out the competition for the best weddings, they're great portfolio pieces, and yes, of course, you tend to make more money. But how do you attract the luxury clientele and continue to love what you do? Come on in and let's find out. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert, it takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional's safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings, for real. My guest today is Laura Ritchie, founder and designer at Grit & Grace, a full-service luxury wedding planning company based in Washington, D.C. Laura started the company in 2009 when her team, like most of us starting out, would take any client who had a pulse. A few years in, Grit & Grace produced 60 weddings, and although the company's growth was something to be proud of, it wasn't sustainable with their small team. The guilt of not being around family on birthdays and holidays led Laura to shift the business model to take far less weddings at a much higher price point. We'll get to how she attracts the luxury clientele in a moment, but something Laura has realized over the years in the luxury market is that she still needs to attract the right client.
Something I've been saying recently is, did luxury steal my joy? I literally have it written on my desk. Because I keep thinking about it and I'm like, wait, do I feel fulfilled still at this level of price point? And I think the word luxury has many meanings. Some people think it's a budget number. Some people think it's an experience. I find it to be a little bit of both. For me, I would say luxury means we're talking in the hundreds of thousands of dollars weddings. I have to be honest, I sometimes think the smaller budgets might be my personal fave. And I think where luxury might have stolen some joy is that people think throwing more money or doing just more and more is going to create something more magical. And I'm pretty positive after this last 2 or 3 years of craziness that that's not the case.
Okay, so how do we attract a luxury client and still make sure it's someone we would like to be around for the next 12 to 18 months? It's a bit tricky, but Laura gives us some great tips in this episode.
Something I've found that's been really great for us is being very open. We use Instagram stories as a tunnel into who we are. It is pretty, don't get me wrong, aesthetically pleasing. But showing who we are, what we care about, that we are real people, that we have kids, you know, we love Uncrustables, you know, it's just being more real than untouchable, not only to coworkers and frienders, but also to potential clients. Most of our clients say, I found you on Instagram. My mom loved your closet confessions from years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And they're like, we're obsessed with you. Yeah. And I think aligning, again, somewhat cheesy, but true, on a personal level with somebody, their budget and what they can spend to me is secondary. Sometimes I am the most expensive thing that they are purchasing for their wedding day. I'm also the biggest investment in their sanity. So something along the lines of, do we genuinely get along? Would I feel good about spending the next 12 to 18 months of my life, investing in this person? I would count many of our past clients as some of my most talked to people to this day. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, there are plenty of people who are like, congratulations, you know, and that's kind of it. And that's okay. Not everyone has to be your best friend. But I do think genuinely aligning on personal connections is first and foremost. I know a red flag when I see it on that first phone call. We never kind of say we're definitely available for your wedding date in an email, nor do we say it on that initial call. We want to be exploratory. We are, you know, inviting this interview as well. And we want them to interview others too. And I think making sure that you leave the room to be able to say no.
I like that.
If someone says to me, oh my God, I'm obsessed with your Instagram. I want to have an internet breaking wedding. I want to be published. And they don't mention their fiance or anything like that in that first call, that's usually a big red flag for me.
Yes, I love that. And I'd love to do this for a second. So red flag is want to be published, internet breaking moment, using like my wedding, like not we for sure. One of mine would be when they self-identify as like a bridezilla.
Oh, hard no.
Yes. Yeah.
That's if they're not like a funny kind joke, of a or when they say my mom is a bridezilla. We deal with a lot of parents. And same. I think that's another thing to note for people that are, man, I want to be a luxury wedding planner, but are you ready for the army of people and opinions that come with said luxury? It's not just a bride and her fiance, and maybe the mom or dad comes occasionally. This is a multi-copying multiple family members and sometimes multiple families mm-hmm. on emails. And managing all of that expectations and communication wise. So when someone says, this is my mom's big day.
Red flag.
Probably not a good one for us. And it's not because I don't want the mom. I've been personally like adopted by many a mom. Bring on the adoption papers. I would love to come to your Christmas party.
Yes.
But I also, the level of what a wedding was to a mom age group versus what is now appropriate, etiquette, normal versus not normal, or client experience versus doing something that I don't agree with because that's what was done in 1976. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be fighting with people. I'm here to help. So it is important to be able to say no, give that room to be like, you know what? Love chatting with you. I don't think I'm the right fit. I've had people be like, oh my gosh, no, we want you. Thank you so much. I'm so flattered. I really enjoyed our exploratory interview. Just after we spoke, I'm just not sure that I can deliver what you're looking for. I wish you all the best. Boop.
I love that. That I feel like is going to be a takeaway just from this episode. And it was something we talked about in our Planner's Vault webinar as well, because it's a shift in the way that a lot of wedding pros are doing things, where they say, congratulations, we have your date available. We'd love to set up a time to chat. And then you back yourself into a corner where you've said, we're open for the date. So it's even more awkward to say, just kidding, I didn't like you, I don't want to work with you. Like, this is a, it should be a fit both ways.
Could not agree more. And in the same respect, when that client says to you, I've found somebody else, or you're not the right fit, you have the right to do that same thing. And I think that's really important. Most people don't contact a planner to say, that's it, I'm booking you for sure. Mm-hmm. Think of it as a two-way street. This is a really deep relationship. We hold secrets of our clients that I would say most of their best friends don't even know. And that's lovely. But with that comes trust, genuine joy, truly wanting to be present and be a part of it. And I think that all comes along with, from the get-go, you're excited about this person, not just excited about the sale.
Yes, agree. I used to say something on our initial conversations where I would say, I want you to do your due diligence. I want you to speak with other planners, and I want you to come back to us if you feel that like we're a good fit. And like you said, we can work together over the next 12 to 18 months. And it's something that we're both going to enjoy.
And I think that's the perfect way to say it, right? And then you can also confirm with the number of them, we do the same thing. We only have so many dates a year. Mm-hmm. So I have to make sure, just like you're making sure this is a good fit for you, we want to make sure it's a good fit for us too. And I think, again, showing the realness, I'm a real person. I'm not just this robot that's taking money, doing things, checking things off. It's so much more than that. I think if you're really good at your job, you are way too invested.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exhausting.
100%. Okay. I have another question that I know I have seen many times asked by newer planners, and I'm curious of your take on this. So
I can't wait.
Have a call with a client. You're feeling pretty good about them. Maybe there's like one or two just tiny things that you're like, are we good? Okay. We're good. Okay. I'm sending the contract. And then they send back your contract and they have marked through things. They want an additional clause added. They want to like redline certain things. Is that an immediate red flag for you? Or is that a place of let's hop on a call, have a conversation and determine where we stand?
Oh, don't you hate that message? It's like a lump in your throat. Like, Well, first of all, I think having the right paperwork on your end of things and feeling confident in what you're saying and selling, both in pricing and what your services are, but also terms and conditions. If you can't fluidly say, this is this, and this is this, and I believe it, and I know this to be true, then they're not going to believe it either.
Yes.
I have changed terms and conditions in the past, and I have regretted it every single time. So usually I think you can also discern the difference. Do you not understand what the contract's saying, or you just don't like it?
Yeah.
Big difference. If they don't understand it, let's do a quick call. Let's explain why a cancellation clause is what it is. You owe me X if you cancel your wedding halfway through. Well, most of my work is actually up front, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you cancel your wedding, you owe me my full balance. I have already executing on the day of is the easy part.
So true. So true.
So, you know, if they don't understand the cancellation clause, okay, let's walk through this together. That was the one that I had actually changed in the past, and they ended up canceling the wedding, unfortunately. And it just so happened that when they canceled, it was just a month or two shy of when they would actually owe me another installment. I couldn't believe it. We never have people cancel. It's very rare. So I thought, sure, I'll give this lawyer dad what he wants.
It's always a lawyer.
You know, it's always a lawyer. And, you know, we live in Washington, D.C. Everybody's a lawyer. Everybody has a secret job that they can't explain to you. I mean, we're in the midst of it here. So it wasn't that crazy. I was happy to move around some dates in the cancellation clause just to scratch the itch, feel a little bend. I didn't want to just be the no person.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, and very sad, they canceled the wedding. I did not get paid on any of those months of work. And they were not necessarily an easy client. We had already done band, venue, save the dates, photographer. I mean, we still had a ways to go, don't get me wrong. But I had done a lot of legwork. And then I was kicking myself. So it's just, you know, I just think if you have the right terms and conditions, things that are simple, easy to say and believe yourself, then no, you shouldn't be changing those to bend because, God, sometimes those things happen. But if it's truly just an explanatory situation and they don't get it, of course, take the call, explain it out. No one's psychic. They don't understand. We find most of our job is educational.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't know.
Yeah. And I think I love how you answered that. I agree. Every time a contract has come back to me with revisions, it is that lump in my throat of like, oh no, am I getting myself into a relationship that I'm going to end up regretting? And agree. Like when I do think it's have a conversation. Another takeaway that I'm pulling from this conversation here is if you look at your contract and you don't like what you said, Laura, and you don't feel confident in explaining why certain things are there, then it would be money incredibly well spent to hire a lawyer to walk you through understanding how to speak to those clauses in your contract to your client.
Absolutely. And I don't think that means you need some 7-page terms and conditions. I think ours in total is maybe a page and a half. It's very straightforward. And it took time to get there. We did work with a lawyer initially. We used some very, you know, force majeure. There's some very basic things. And then we added in stuff along the way.
Same.
You know, if I'm traveling, yes, you need to pay for my food, my beverage, the gas, or a car rental. I mean, we added stuff in. That's not the same for everybody. So we can't just blanketly say, oh, sure, it's included. If I'm doing a wedding 20 minutes from my house, well, no, I'm going to go home. But you're taking me away from my family for 6 days, you're going to get a bill. Yeah. And I think explaining some of that is really important. And we also then do our due diligence when we're setting up their budget. Their wedding is a flight and a travel away. I'm line itemizing estimates so they see it. It's not just a surprise punch, right? And I think that communication and less surprises is very helpful for all parties. We also have an abuse clause.
Yes, yes. I have that as well. And that is a way to protect yourself.
It is. And I think when you say it to people, they're like, wait, what? Like, I'm not your bitch. You know, I have a life too. You are not my only client. And the way that you treat people and the service that you receive is absolutely based on how you treat us and treat our vendors. And we do lean on that. And I think when people ask, what is this abuse clause? I am happy to explain all day long what this means to us. It's short, it's sweet. It's basically be respectful, be kind, but it's also be kind to me, be kind to our vendors that we are helping you contract. I work with them more than I'm going to work with you for the rest of my life. So if they get trampled on, that does nothing. And I think that's also where we come to that, you know, fork in the road. Is this a place where we need to, and you and I spoke about this before, do we need to reset? Or is this a major red flag where we might need to part ways? And I think when we set it up from the beginning and say, this is how this relationship is going to go, because I'm setting the rules and the boundaries and my expectations of the professional that you're hiring include the following, great. And if they divert from that, I called it out from the beginning. We have had to let clients go.
Yes. I have a couple of thoughts that I was scribbling down notes as you were talking. So I loved what you said about setting expectations and communicating at the beginning. I think that might be a missed opportunity for some wedding professionals because they send the contract, they get the contract signed, and then they get to work and they don't realize that the client basically just signed things, didn't read it, doesn't have an understanding of, like I have in my contract, a communication clause, because this is something that we encountered as planners for many years, where when they're reaching out to wedding professionals that they've hired and they're not including us in correspondence and they're changing things around and we're left out of the loop, then we can't be responsible because you reached out to the bartender and added a signature drink cocktail that you didn't allow us to do our job and handle that communication for you. Yep. So there's that. There's the like timely response from clients, just like we are supposed to respond in a timely manner. I can't keep chasing my clients to get them to make final decisions on things when I'm repeating efforts and duplicating the work time and time again. So yes.
Totally. And I think that setting those expectations and time, maybe you go ahead and start with, we will have a once monthly call. Your wedding is October 1st. The first of every month, we're going to have a call.
Yeah.
Their expectations are now set. We always provide due dates in an email. It's not just, willy-nilly back and forth, willy-nilly back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I just spoke to a bride this morning. She has to make a decision about this epic escort card wall. It is not going to be cheap. And we've gone back and forth and back and forth. Well, we got 2 months to go. And I know that the actual due date for this from the production side of things, everyone had said to me, we need a decision by like mid-September because if we're building this out, we need time. So I said to her this morning, here's the bottom line. Here's the pricing. Here's my feelings. Here's an option if you don't want to spend it. Friday, due date.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make the decision by Friday. And again, it's expectations. It sounds so silly, but if we know we're all just like running, doing stuff, waiting for emails, getting quotes, the client has no idea that you're doing this stuff.
Yes.
They're doing their own job. And so whether that's, we like to do a once monthly check-in, we definitely have constant emails, but as their wedding gets closer, maybe it's now bi-weekly.
Yes.
You know, and then maybe that month out, it's weekly, just Monday morning, 8 a.m. standing call. It could be nothing. It could be something. But then you're also being held to a calendar where we, you know, we're all just juggling stuff.
Yes.
You know, so I think it's helpful for us too, in a weird way, to just have deadlines self-imposed.
I would say for full service clients, especially the luxury client, I absolutely agree with you that the weekly, as it gets closer. So my last wedding is September 24th and we've been doing
forever.
Talk about that later. Yeah. But we've been doing weekly calls with them for the last, it's 6 weeks out from the wedding because big production, like multi events each weekend. And it helps me get the answers from them. Like if they haven't responded to my emails, it gets, you know, they're looking at me and I'm like, hey, we got to make a decision on this right now. So I love that. And I think the communications and expectations 100% is the key. Communicating that up front, even like after you've booked, I think you mentioned you do this. Don't you do like an onboarding call with your clients where you say like, here's how it's going to work. Here's what the welcome guide looks like. Here are some things of how we communicate. What the meeting schedule looks like. That is the key. One of the biggest keys to a successful client experience.
Yes. Yes. Our first call, they sign the contract. We go ahead and send them an email, introductory email. We need the following things from you. We need you to start doing your guest list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Day one, I need the guest list with addresses, please. and doing that onboarding call where we walk them through aisle plan or we talk about a checklist. Hey, you guys are 18 months out. Amazing. Let's talk about what's happening now. I don't want you sending me an email about a florist in 2 weeks. Honey, you don't even have half the other stuff done.
Mm-mm.
And then providing them the content that they need to know that this is what we're doing this month. And we're all taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then we're talking in September and we're scheduling stuff. And so they see the runway that we all already have in our head. they just don't know that there is a cadence. And we're there again, education-wise, hold their hand. Just because you haven't heard from me in a week does not mean that stuff is behind or hasn't happened.
Yes, I would venture to guess that 95% of all frustrated, overwhelmed, like off client experiences are because they don't know what's going on or they haven't been communicated to. The other 5% are the crazies, right? Like those are the ones that we need to fire or we need to like move on from that relationship because those absolutely exist. And I too have fired a handful of clients over the time that I've had my business. So that that's a real thing. Like there are people that their expectations are you're never going to make them happy. Like you're going to lose many nights of sleep. You're going to dread every time you open your email. You will hate life until that wedding happens and possibly after, depending on how things go down. So
I mean, it's true. I've had to go to therapy after a wedding before, which sounds like so dramatic, but it was just so intense and I could not comprehend why I was so messed up from this very involved relationship. And after talking through it, blah, 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 I'm like, oh, okay. This was like really hitting and triggering for most. That should not be my job. That's crazy. No. But I think when you just simply say, I cannot make you happy with my services, that is the end. It's not a who did this or who did what or you did that or you did this. But you keep going back to I'm uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm miserable. You know, how much abuse can I take? And we do take those things like warnings or, hey, let's all get on the phone. That email was really hitting me in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just the way you worded it or are you actually mean? You know, I do think we have these keyboard crusaders that just throw in things and you're immediately like, oh, I'm not a bad person. I'm supposed to be just your wedding planner. And so immediately when we have those issues, we are getting, like you said, face to face on a Zoom. Let's call. Like, hold on.
Yes, 100% agree.
If it keeps coming back, though, to this situation where someone just wants to do all their own things, they're going off track, they're not following the stuff, then it's not working. Mm-hmm. It's not working for them either. That's why they're doing it. And this is a group effort. And I think when you are not just thinking of the sale, you're not just thinking more, 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 which of course we all want more, but more doesn't mean better. It keeps coming back up, you know? And so sometimes letting it go and releasing that rest of that money is better for you in the long run.
Yes, Laura. Oh, I so agree with this. And I think that looking at the situation and asking yourself, okay, this client, like Laura said, about is this something that we're going to get on the call? And can I look at my job as the professional in this relationship and see any glaring errors where I really dropped the ball here or I overpromised and underdelivered in what they hired me for? And if so, let's own some of that.
Right.
But if you're looking back at your processes and you're seeing like, no, I really feel like I've, you know, I've done my diligence. I've had things in writing. I've communicated clearly, and I just cannot make this person happy. Then it's time to let them go.
Yes. And I do think feeling, again, this is reciprocal, right? Like what have I done wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait, I haven't done anything wrong. They just didn't like the fact that they had to pay for something.
Mm-hmm.
And they perceive should be free or whatever the issue is, you can't fix it. And then it's not fixable and that's okay. But I think having the terms and conditions where you're covered contractually that says I'm firing you or you're firing me, I'm still keeping my money because I just worked for 7 months is really important. And sometimes it's just a tweak of some dates. It's just the wording. Just cover yourself, you know, just like a designer of your home or a landscape artist. They've already done half the work. You paid for those things. You're not getting money back necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, you really need to think of yourself as that service provider.
Ugh. Yes. And I'll tell those of you that are listening to this that you're like, ah, oh, but what about the bad review? What if I get a bad review? I've gotten a bad review. It's fine. This was actually, Laura, I think we talked about this. I was 4 months into an 18-month planning experience, and it was one of those where the red flag after red flag after red flag. And I just knew I can either let this go now, or I can spend the next 14 months dreading every interaction. And I did. I refunded everything with the exception of the travel cost to go to the mountains of North Carolina to scout out venues with her. I gave back absolutely money that I had earned because I was ready to be done. Right. And she still wrote a bad review on every review site, every site out there. And it's to this day why I struggle with the name Stephanie.
Everybody has that. Everybody has that one name. They're like, oh, their name is Karen or, Samantha. Nah, I don't really like Samantha. It just always happens like that. But you know, that one bad review is not going to make or break you.
It does not.
It truly isn't. And we all read those long threads where the bridezilla was doing this or the photographer said they're never giving their photos. And look, do you remember what that person's name was? No. Will you have your sanity? Yes.
Yes.
And again, contractually, would I have given back every damn penny? I don't know. You're a saint. I would have been like, no.
This was 2014, Megan, though. Yeah, so okay, different, enough. Different fine, Megan. Fine, fine. Yeah.
And I think, again, making that cancellation clause in a place where it's very solid for you and having the right to say, this is abusive.
I didn't have that in 2014. Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, learned.
And lessons. I'm pretty sure we only added that abuse clause in maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Yes. It's really important. I mean, we are all giving our blood, sweat, tears, time. We're missing kids' activities. We are up late at night. We are alphabetizing. We are doing stuff that is not a normal 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't have to do anything less than something that you deserve.
Yes. I love that so much. I would love to take the last few minutes to ask you a few questions as it relates to your career, the things that you've learned, maybe things that you still struggle with. And I believe that these questions are really powerful because I know, Laura, I know there are planners out there that know your business and look at your business and think, OMG, if I can get to that level, I will have made it. Success is there. No more struggles, no more imposter syndrome, no more sleepless nights. And the reality is, that's not the truth. We're all humans. There are absolutely stunning weddings that you have done. There's an amazing business that you've built, but you're human. And there's still those thoughts that you struggle with as well that you shared at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is not charging what we're worth and not feeling confident in pricing where, I didn't make that sale because I was probably too expensive. The actuality is, I'm worth every penny and more. I've never had a client in these latter years say, man, you weren't worth it. Mm. I look back and think I was scared to charge a percentage when I should have been doing that for much longer. I just couldn't say it or explain it in the proper way. But knowing your own worth, even in year 3 versus year 13, is really important. And I think taking the time to understand what Sarah Joe Wedding Planning Company, how many hours do you spend on a client's event? Start calculating today. Mm-hmm. So when someone says to you, wow, I heard your prices really increased, you can say, well, yeah, actually, I went back and calculated. I actually spend 700 hours per client. So my pricing from 2 years ago when your sister got married, that was me making $22 an hour. That's not going to work. Right. And so figuring those pieces out is really important. And I think taking the time and investing in yourself and having those numbers, how much do my clients need to have in their budget to produce a wedding I need to do? I'm putting these numbers out there not to sound expensive, or it's just simply justifying it to myself so I can swallow it too.
Yes, I love that. And I would add to charging your worth for those of you that are saying, oh, I don't know, I don't have as much experience as this person, or I would never spend what my fee is. Laura and I talked about this inside the Planner's Vault membership as well. And I think it's important to do I continue to have to do the money mindset work as a recovery. I call myself a recovering people pleaser, right? Like,
yeah.
I have to continue to do that money mindset work of like, oh, but I want to help them. I want to be available. I want to be approachable to all. And it's like, no, that's going to keep you small and keep your prices small. If you're not willing to do that money mindset work to continue to level up your business, raise your rates, and feel confident in the rates that you're charging.
Yeah. And I think having those deliverables, like an aisle planner platform, or like a way you always provide design mm-hmm. boards, like X, Y, and Z, and it literally can just be pages with your logo at the top. Mm-hmm. This does not have to be hiring some crazy expensive rendering situation, but there are consistencies that you can believe in yourself. You know, these are things that you are showing to clients when they book. Mm-hmm. It helps explain. I mean, I do this and I do that and I do this. It's like, yeah. Let me show you what I'm doing. It's always helpful for us to remind ourselves, wow, I did all of that yes. and I'm worth all of this.
Yes, I love that. And you shared some really actionable tips inside the webinar about how your sales process works and how you show that value just on that initial call that has them yeah. like, yes, I'm in. Okay, Laura, question for you. So imagine we can go back. You started your business, was it 2010?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so 2010. Let's say we're heading back in a time machine. You get to pick the year. It could be 2012, 2013. We're going back and you get to speak to that version of you. Is there any piece of advice that this Laura is sharing?
Don't work so hard. Mm. I really missed quite a few years in there with my kids. And I thought it was because I was working hard and building my business and doing all these things. And, you know, does taking the New Year's Eve wedding really do anything? No. Mm-hmm. Does working on my birthday really do anything? No. I do think there's, you know, on not such a personal note, but I do think back about the things I missed because I felt so convicted in, I must do this wedding and I really, really want to do a confetti cannon on New Year's Eve or, mm-hmm. and those are fun. Don't get me wrong. We've done all those. We don't do them anymore. Mm-hmm. Missing my kid's birthday, you know, literally working a wedding on my birthday. Now I love that wedding and I love that bride. I'm still friends with them. But when I look at those pictures, I think that was my birthday was spent. And so it just, I think it's never that important to give up some of your own personal life to do a wedding. I mean, we all have those goal weddings and they're really wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I've had some mm-hmm. most amazing times. I'm crying. They're crying. It's great. Mm-hmm. But you can't repeat your own life for the sake of someone else's one big day.
Oh my gosh.
I think on a flip side though, I would say I would probably do our books and like QuickBooks and get an accountant from the very beginning, day one, which we enacted, you know, year three, when we actually were like, oh my God, we're like actually taking off here. I would do that stuff from day one, even though it seems preposterous. But just setting yourself up for success financially and understanding where your money's going and what your overhead is. Yes. We've had physical studios before. We had a couple years where we had two different offices. One was in DC downtown. One was in Leesburg, Virginia, where we live. And then we were like, hold on. We're spending $30,000 a year on rent.
Yeah.
What if we just got 401ks? as I zip up my big girl pants.
Yes.
And you know, it seemed again at the time, you know, having a physical studio seems so official.
It's that like checkbox.
Oh, like yes. I would have my cute little studio with all my cute stuff. I have an office in my house.
Mm-hmm, same.
Most of our stuff is done on site at venues, at catering places. If we need to meet with a client, of course we will. Mm-hmm. Do I need to pay rent somewhere? No. And I think mm-hmm. forgiving yourself for some of those goals, again, because in retrospect, like you said, what would I do? Yeah. I would have pocketed that money and I would have not worked on my birthday.
Yes. Yeah, I love that so much. And I've talked a lot about that as well, like the hustle early on in my business. I became a mom 2 years into being a business owner. And I remember that thought because I was one of the first in my market to be a mom and a wedding planner.
Same.
And I was like, no one's going to see me sweat. No one is going to see me not be able to balance motherhood and entrepreneurship and the hustle. I mean, I almost cried while you were talking because it's something that I deeply believe too. Like I worked my first Mother's Day when I was a mom. I know. I worked my first Mother's Day. The things that I missed with my girls early on, I've said like the times when I wasn't home and then the times that I was home and they were right in front of me and I was responding to emails or hiding in the bathroom from them because I'm trying to like get back to a client, and the amount of my time, energy, soul that I gave to my business early on built something really successful. But there are things that I would go back absolutely and tell that Megan exactly like, don't work so hard. Life is short. Don't do things for the applause of others on the outside. Right. Like make choices because it's for you, not for what you think other people will think.
Ugh. And I think, God, all of that times 10. Mm-hmm. And I think someone's out there listening saying, I've only started 2 years ago. I'm really just trying to catch up. Like, of course, right? Yes, do all of that. And just know when to put it down because you can't get it back. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that client is not going to know the difference, even though you plowed through. And I think probably, again, our trajectories are very similar. Those years were the mom boss years, the girl boss. I mean, hashtag hustle, like, no,
yes, no.
You know, I love that phrase right now, quiet quitting.
Yes. I saw that. I saw that article. Yes. Stop doing things that you're not getting paid for.
I mean, but right. Like I wouldn't say quiet. It just works so well because they both come with Q and girl over here loves an alliteration. But yes, of course, answer emails, do things, but no one answering an email at 6 a.m. versus after you put the kids on the bus, after you've gone and worked out, after you've done the things you need to do, that 2 hour difference is not changing anything. You might be clearer. Go ahead and read it. Just wait. Think about it. Like, I am not beholden so much anymore, even though my A-type personality really hurts me sometimes. I can barely stand when there's emails in my inbox. But it's important. And fix that for yourself out the gate. And again, setting those client expectations. This is when I work.
Yeah. This is a great time because this episode will be coming out in September of 2022. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, so much of what they're saying is kind of a gut punch to me. That's my goal, by the way.
Okay, got it. I'm like, hold on. Should we like be a little bit like happier over here?
No, I think it's great.
It's true though. I mean, I think you see all of our stuff on Instagram. Like, oh my God, they have matching outfits. Mm-hmm. They did this. They did that. Success. It's so pretty.
Like featured in brides, like all the things. Yeah.
And it is. But the other half of it is that I'm also struggling just like the person who is starting out just in a different way.
Yes. Yes. So take what you need from this episode. Find the time to sit down and ask yourself, okay, this year was a little bit of a shit show. And what made it so? Was it the clients that I was working with? Is it that I personally am trying to do too many things? Is it that it's time to raise my rates? Is it that I need someone else on my team? Is it that I just need an overhaul of some area of my business? But what do I want this next year to look like that won't include some of the things that were really, really stressful this past year? And I just want to thank you for coming on and keeping it real and sharing again. I mean, I look for those moments that I imagine someone listening to this in their car or in the shower or making dinner where they're like, well, damn, like that's what I needed to hear. And you gave so many of those. So thank you.
I'm so glad. Thank you for having me.
Where can our listeners connect with you and learn more?
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram. I am trying the tick of the talk. With help, it's okay to outsource sometimes because I'm like, there's so many buttons on TikTok, I don't get it. And I'm old.
Me too. Me
So
too.
all of our handles are the same. Also a great tidbit for business, so you're not confusing people.
Yes.
It's at Grit and Grace Inc. And our website is gritandgraceinc.com. We love connecting with other planners. We love answering questions. I manage all of our social media somehow, so find me there.
Love it. Thanks so much again, Laura, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
That was Laura Ritchie, who again, you can find at gritandgraceinc.com or at gritandgraceinc on all social media platforms. Thanks, Laura, for coming on. And thank you again for listening and helping us reach 250,000 downloads of the podcast. And if you have thoughts or questions about this episode, let's connect. Join us in the Weddings for Real Facebook group or find us on Instagram. We're at Weddings for Real. Tag me or DM me, and I'd love to hear from you. That's all for today. As always, this episode is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site for wedding planners, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and we'll see you again soon on Weddings for Real.